Some of you may be thinking, Transfiguration Sunday again? Again? It happens every year, sometimes twice in the year. This year, we'll have Transfiguration Sunday again on August 6th. Because we do. It happens again and again and again. And this is a story that we have all heard so many times that it's as familiar to us as the Christmas stories and the Easter stories and the Sermon on the Mount and the loaves and fishes stories. We've heard all of these stories. And this one, we hear and it kind of disappears into our awareness, I think. It doesn't stick with us. And I'm not sure what that's about, but maybe we'll find out one of these days. Who knows? So it all began about 8 days before the trip up the mountain when Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah. I got it. You're the Messiah." And Jesus went on to tell them that he was going to die, that he would be killed. And that was not what they thought the Messiah was going to have happen. So they were struggling with that. I can imagine that during that week, as they were walking with Jesus and talking with him, they were trying to figure out exactly how he could be so wrong, how he could have it really so wrong, because they really knew what Messiah meant and what that was going to mean to them. So they're taking in this strange news. And Jesus leads them up this tall mountain. And they get there and they're tired. And this amazing thing happens. Elijah and Moses show up. And they're standing there with Jesus talking. And we can tell that it's Moses because he's holding the scroll, the scroll of the law. And you can tell that it's Elijah because who else would it be? Moses and the greatest of the prophets, of course. And Jesus standing there, bridging them, bridging the law and the prophecy, the tradition and the moving forward. Being with these two and perhaps becoming part of them in some way that we might be able to imagine. And Peter, God bless him. He's my soulmate, you know. I look at him and I see me. He knows immediately what needs to happen, and he jumps out there and I paraphrase. He says, "Isn't this fabulous? We've got all three of you right here." Right here. So I'm going to go get some bushes and make a bunch of little houses for you, because we're kind of tired of being on the road. We have been on the road for so long. For 3 years now, we have been on the road. And, you know, people never know where you are. And now, this can be the center of our ministry. We'll build these little houses, and people can come to you, and they will be healed, and they will be taught. And we can just take care of business right here, and everything will be good. And as Peter is blathering on about his plan, a cloud comes and takes over everything. And out of the cloud comes a voice. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Now, we've talked a lot over the years about transfiguration, what it means, what happened that day. Who was really there? Elijah and Moses? Were they really there? Did the disciples really see them? Were the disciples really asleep? Did they dream this whole thing? Was it a vision? We have all kinds of questions. What happened to them when they left? Who was really in the cloud? All of these things, we can ask questions, and we do that because when the Holy gets really close to us, we get resistant. The Holy is scary, and when it comes really close, we do all kinds of dances to keep it a little bit farther away, where we can look a little bit, but not really be touched. So we ask these questions as a way to keeping this holy moment a little bit separate from us. But Scripture is not like a newspaper story. We don't have to answer the who, what, when, where, how, and why. Scripture is a different kind of story. If we start dragging at the details, if we start picking, it's like what happens if you get too close to a pointillist painting. You know, one of those paintings that's made with all the dots. If you get really up close so you can see the individual colors, you can no longer see the picture. And when we pick at Scripture to try to figure out exactly what happened and exactly who was there and exactly what did they say, we lose touch with the story because we're looking at that one little point that's right in front of our faces. For me, this story is a good reflection on what we've been told of Native American storytelling. We've been told that when someone tells a story in that tradition, they often begin it with, "I'm not sure this is the way it happened, but I know the story is true. I have no clue if this is the way this really happened, but I know this story is true in some way that touches us and leads us closer to Jesus, leads us closer to God, leads us closer to the Holy." Every year when it's Transfiguration time, I wonder what I might possibly find to say, because I've been here 15, 16, 17 times. And once again, the power of Scripture. You know, every time we dive into Scripture, every time we sit with it for any length of time, something new emerges. And it did. What I noticed was that this was the second time that the voice came out of a cloud, and it's a little bit different. The first time we heard Jesus claimed as Son was at his baptism. When he came up out of the water, he heard, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." There's 3 years between that moment when Jesus heard this call to his ministry, when he heard God's blessing on his work. And I imagine that God's been watching. He's been watching. He may have been watching particularly in that last week when the disciples had been pushing the whole idea of Jesus as Messiah actually dying, when they've been pushing that aside because it doesn't fit the way they see the world. And I'm thinking, God needs them to hear one more time in a different way. "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's telling you to do. Listen to him talk about his mission, his ministry, his purpose for being on this earth with you. Listen. Listen to him. Listen to him and be transformed. Listen and be brought into the person you're meant to be." this morning at the children's sermon, Sandy reminded the kids that you don't have to change into a new person to be the person God intends you to be. You just have to be formed into that person that you're supposed to be, into the person you're deeply, uniquely formed to be. And it's the same way with us grown-ups. This transfiguration story can help us remember that we can be transformed, that if we listen to Jesus, if we hear his words, if we do what he tells us to do, not what we think he might do if he were in our place, if we do what he tells us to do, we will be transformed. Now, at the end of the time on the mountain, the folks had to go back down the mountain into the world. And the same thing happens with us. We come here to this holy mountain, to this holy place, where we gather as God's beloveds, God's own children, God's own chosen. We gather to be fed with Scripture, with the body and blood, with the music that fills our souls. We come here to this place, and then we go out into the world. And sometimes it's pretty steep going down that mountain. And sometimes we have to rest on the way. Sometimes we just need to look at the view for a little bit. But after we come to this holy place, we do have to go down the mountain into the world. As people who are transformed week by week, day by day, so that we can go out and transfigure the world, so that we can be instruments of God's peace, making this world into the place it needs to be. And we can do this because God's Holy Spirit walks with us down this mountain into the world with everything God has given us. And as we do that, we can say, thanks be to God.